And as the kids are being dismissed, if you are new this morning, thank you for coming. I'd love to say hi to you after service and just you can introduce yourself, interrupt me, that's okay. For the rest of you, just let them come up and talk to me, and then I love seeing you all. Actually, I was thanking God as I was studying Psalm 23. I want you all to know, those of you here in the building online, we count it such a privilege that you trust your spiritual lives to our care as an under-shepherd. Us elders truly love you all, and thank God that we get to impact your lives. So just know we take this role very seriously, and we want to see you grow in your faith. If you're newer, though, here, did you guys pass the pads through and pass them back, maybe? If you didn't, go ahead. Those of you online, send us an email at office@cbclittleburn. We just want to know you're watching. We love you. We're thankful that you're here. Like Kyle was saying as we were worshiping, Psalm 23 is one of the most popular psalms, or if not the most popular psalm in the Bible. And if you're new here, what we've been doing is going through the Psalms of David. And so this is a psalm that David wrote. And if you remember, looking back in 1 Samuel, that David was actually a shepherd himself. And so I believe as God inspired David to write this song, he was pulling from his experience as a shepherd over sheep. And there's an interesting book that I want you to tell you about that I actually read, and I think many of you have read. It's wonderful helping you understand Psalm 23 through the perspective of a shepherd. Philip Keller actually writes this book. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And so I'm actually going to bring a lot of the things that he has seen as a shepherd into this song to help us understand exactly what God is saying and communicating to us. One of the things that Keller talks about as he looks at the psalm is that this is definitely about sheep and a shepherd. And Philip Keller tells us through his own experiences that sheep, by their very nature, are anxious, easily scared, stubborn, and prone to wander off and get themselves in ridiculous situations. Now, I don't know if you've been on YouTube and ever watched, there's one video, this is hilarious. It has a sheep like stuck in this trench that it looks like they maybe have dug for a pipeline. And the sheep is head into the trench with its feet sticking out, and there's this young boy trying to pull the sheep out. And he tugs and tugs on that sheep because the sheep wandered off and got itself into this difficult situation. And he finally pulls the sheep out. And the sheep is happy, and he lets the sheep go, and it boing, boing, boing. And guess what it does? It goes head first right back into the same ditch. That is a hilarious picture of sheep. And you know what God hilariously has said? He looks at you and me, and he says, "You know what? You remind me of sheep." Because how many times have we acted like sheep? We drift, we wander off, we over worry and think about things to a point where anxiety is taking us over. We overreact to situations and pretend like the world is falling because this situation is happening right now and I'm stuck in a ditch and God, get me out of it. And then when you get out of the ditch, you're super excited and you go right back into it. And how many times have we tried to handle things on our own only to make the situation worse? Now, this idea that God calls us sheep can be kind of rude from one perspective, but from another, it's actually rather comforting. And Psalm 23 is a song about our good shepherd and his relationship with us, his sheep. And when you understand Psalm 23 through the lens of a shepherd, you then more fully understand the type of relationship you have with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 is a beautiful example of what it looks like to have Jesus as our good shepherd, and it also tells us exactly how our good shepherd meets our needs. So what we're going to do is go line by line through this song, and as we get to the end of it, you will be more confident than when you began as you walked into those doors today, but not more confident in yourself and in your own abilities. You will be more confident in Jesus, your good shepherd. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalm 23 and read this beautiful song that tells us of the loving relationship we have with our Savior, Jesus. Those of you online, join us as well. We typically read out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, it might be a little bit different, but we're going to be breaking down this song line by line so you can see exactly how good our shepherd is and how he meets all of our needs. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Oh, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, oh, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Oh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Let's look at this song line by line through the eyes of a shepherd and see if you walk away with a fuller idea of who your good shepherd is and how much he cares for you as his sheep. Let's start with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Simply put, Jesus is my shepherd. But I want you to stop there, period. Do you realize how profound this is? It is not Jesus is a shepherd or Jesus is the shepherd. It is Jesus is what? My shepherd. Do you realize? I might cry on this a few times. Do you realize that what he's saying here is that you belong? You belong to him. We live in a world where our identity is so confusing. Who do I belong to? Where do I belong? Do these people accept me for who I am? And what Jesus is saying here, what David is singing from God himself, is I own you. You're mine. No one else. No one can take you out of my fold. You're my sheep. And when he says that I own you, there's this beautiful thing that Keller brings out in his book. Another YouTube video that was very profound to me. I watched it before even looking at Psalm 23, and it reminded of Psalm 23 when I looked at it again. There's this YouTube video where there is a shepherd, and he has people there. He's telling them about what a shepherd is, and he has three different people call out to his sheep with their voice. Same type of call, but just a different voice. And the first person gets up there and goes, la, 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 whatever they say. Maybe Ricola, okay? Sheep don't even move. They don't even look. The second person comes up, Ricola, Ricola, Ricola. Nothing. Third person gets up. What happens? Nothing. The shepherd gets out there and says, Ricola, Ricola, Ricola. The sheep's heads pop up and start running towards him. Why? Because the sheep knows their shepherd's voice. And that is exactly what Jesus says is a good shepherd. My sheep know
my voice. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, it is not through works, it's through grace of Jesus suffering the wrath for you. If you've done that, He owns you and you know His voice. Now, things can crowd out His voice because you wander off, you're anxious. Things can happen where you can't hear His voice clearly. But you belong to Him and you know His voice when He calls. But here's another beautiful thing that Keller brings out as a shepherd. Did you know that every shepherd marks their sheep with something unique, usually on the ears? They'll usually have a notch or several cuts that is specifically for that shepherd in the sheep he owns. So sometimes shepherds would get together in ancient times and even today, and the sheep would mingle and the shepherds would get together and laugh and join in each other's company, let their sheep feed on the grass, and when it was time to leave, they would call to their sheep, and they could always tell by the specific mark on their sheep if it was theirs or if it was another shepherd's. Do you know that Jesus has marked you? And do you know what that mark is? Jesus has marked you as His sheep. And that mark is the Holy Spirit. When you believed in Christ, you were born again. And the Holy Spirit made a home in you. That is your mark that you belong and you are His. In fact, Paul talks about it in Ephesians 1. He talks about it as a seal, as a down payment of things to come as being saved through grace by Christ alone. So the first thing, this song hangs everything on. Everything that comes after this is based off of this statement right here, that Jesus is my shepherd. And because of this truth, everything that follows is not wishful thinking, but reality. You see that, church? If Jesus is my shepherd will walk with me, talk with me, and watch over me. I belong to Him. So, what does it look like to be Jesus' shepherd? Well, the next part of verse 1 tells us. It says, I shall not want. What does that mean? It means I have everything I truly need because Jesus is my shepherd. Now, some people can get confused on this. God is not saying He's going to give you everything you want. This is not a life of excess. It is not a life of ease. A lot of times people wonder, what are my needs? And this is where I love a Restoring Your Heart S Group ministry here. I love how they put this. I've said this multiple times. A lot of you will remember it. Our basic needs are value, acceptance, security, and connection. We need that ultimately from this vertical relationship with God, and then it gets echoed through our relationships here. Value, acceptance, security, and connection. So when Jesus is talking about our needs are met here, I shall not want, He's not talking about what the world says you should want. You see, what the world says you should want is fame, fortune, power, and pleasure. Fame, fortune, power, and pleasure. That is not what the sheep need. It might be what the sheep want, but that is not what they need. You see that? And in fact, what's cool here, Keller brings this out in his book. He says, do you know that you could tell how good a shepherd is by looking at a sheep? If the sheep are thin, diseased, starving, the shepherd's not doing a good job. But if the sheep are vibrant, healthy, and free of ailments, you know that's a good shepherd. So when Jesus and others look at your life, what kind of sheep are you? Because it reflects on how good a shepherd Jesus is. And some of you might say, well, hold on a second. I'm a pretty thin, disgusting, disease-ridden sheep. That means Jesus must be doing the bad job. No, because you're judging it off of what the world says you need. It's not about you becoming rich, famous, powerful. or to have every single pleasure in your mind fulfilled in your wildest fantasies. No, Jesus gives you what you need, and sometimes you don't like that because you want something else. And what happens after here, in verse 1, the first two points are, Jesus is my shepherd and I have everything I need. Actually, the rest of the song describes how Jesus meets the needs you need. You get that? Everything now from verse 2 to verse 6 actually tells us what needs Jesus actually meets as our good shepherd. It's not what the sheep maybe want. That's why the sheep wander off and get stuck in a hole, right? Because they're anxious, they're stupid, they're stubborn, for various reasons, just like us. What we need is something completely different, and often we go looking in the wrong places. So, what is it that we actually need? What does it mean, I shall not want? Well, let's look at the first part of verse 2. There's seven needs that Jesus meets as our good shepherd. What's the first need? Verse 2. I shall not lack rest. What do I mean by that? Jesus gives me real rest when I cannot find it on my own. The passage says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know that it is almost impossible to force a sheep to lie down? There are four conditions that must be met before a sheep will lie down to rest. First thing, the sheep cannot be afraid. If they're afraid a predator is going to come, take them out, or if things are insecure, there's not enough food, they will not lay down. They will be wandering around feeling insecure. Second thing, if the sheep at all feel like there is friction with other sheep, and the herd is not doing well, they will not lie down. Third, if there are pests that are bothering the sheep, especially on the face, they will not lie down and rest. And fourth, if they are hungry, they will not lie down and rest. But when all four of those conditions are met, when they are feeling safe, there is no predators, where relationships within the herd are good and healthy, when they're not being incessantly like dealing with flies all over their faces or just cuts on their skin, and when they are full in their bellies, sheep will lie down in a green pasture and rest. So, okay, take that image of a sheep. They will not rest unless they feel safe, there's no friction with other sheep, there's no pests bothering them, and they are full. Take that to us. What do we see here? Rest for us is not a vacation in Hawaii. Do you see that? Rest for us looks like this. I can rest because I feel safe. I'm not in danger in any way. My family is safe. I feel secure. I know I'm going to eat. Second thing, I have good relationships in the church. I don't know about you, if you've ever had conflict within the church, and let's just call it what it is. We will have conflict. We're all a bunch of sinners, and there's confusions and communication problems all the time. But have you ever noticed that when you have a conflict with someone in the church, or even in your family, that you cannot rest? That you usually avoid it and try to forget it and move on, and you cannot rest. And eventually you stuff it way down, so you hope you forget it, but there's always this unrest in you, and it's because of that other person and what they did to me. No, go and deal with the friction in the church or in your family. Otherwise, you'll find it hard to rest. Third, pests. I see these things, pests that bother us, are lies the world tells us or lies that I believe. If I'm wrestling with some lie I believed in my past, maybe it can be the lie like I don't matter, well, everybody else matters, that's the big one that I struggled with. Maybe it's people will abandon me like they did in the past. I can't develop friendships. because they won't stick around. What lies are bothering you in your head? Those are pests. And God has to transform your mind, help you see the truth and believe the truth. Rewire, literally, actually, your neural pathways in your head. Mitch, you weren't here last week. I talked about the brain. I've talked about prefrontal cortex, the limbic system, and the amygdala. All right? If you don't know what those are, go look it up. It's really cool. And then fourth, we need spiritual food. If you are not feeding daily on the Word of God, sitting time in prayer, spending time with other Christians, doing God stuff, if you're not making God a part of your life 24/7, and you're not feeding on His Word, you will not find rest. You can force yourself to rest. I found this out, actually. One of the things I believed, because I struggled with a lot of past lies that I believed, and I would think, if I can just have a week off and go on vacation, I will feel better. And I'd go to the mountains or the beach, and I would spend all my time trying to rest. And we'd have these activities that we'd do, and we'd have these things that we'd have quiet time, maybe, and do family events and all these things. And I'd come back, and I'd never have rested. And I went, God, what's wrong with me? I cannot rest. It wasn't until I actually drilled down and realized, oh, there's some core issues in my heart, some things I believe about myself and others that are untrue, that are pests bothering me, and I'm always swatting them away and trying to stuff them down. And until God made me deal with those things, I could not find rest. I found rest yesterday. I spent quiet time with God, and I rested. I even said no, get this. Some of you won't understand this, some of you will. I didn't play a video game. Because it doesn't give me rest. Do you realize that we are surrounded daily by things that make us anxious, make us scared, make us suck our energy away? We're not eating on the right spiritual food. We have dysfunctional relationships we don't try to repair because we just don't know how to repair. All that stuff causes you not to rest. But Jesus, if you let Him as your good shepherd, He will make you lie down in green pastures. He'll help you deal with that mess and help you rest. One of the best ways I would encourage you to do this is join one of our Restoring Your Heart groups. I say that knowing that we'd have no room for anybody, but that was actually one of the great ministries that helped me get at the heart of things so I could actually rest and even know how to communicate and heal relationships. Okay, so the first need that Jesus meets as our good shepherd is rest. The second need He meets is also found in verse 2. I shall not lack life. What do I mean by that? Jesus restores my strength to keep living for Him every day. We see in the passage that it says, He leads me beside the still waters. Again, this is where Keller brings up something really fascinating. I never thought about this. And Eric, you talked about it when you painted your picture for the art exhibition. Did you know that sheep, being anxious and stubborn sheep, do not like rushing or running water? It scares them. And for good reason. Sheep, if they actually go out into the water that's rushing, they can be swept away because they're top heavy. They got little tiny legs and a lot of girth up top, and it knocks them over. And when it knocks them over, it makes their wool, their fleece, full of water, and basically the sheep gets washed away and then drowns. So they're scared. So what the shepherd has to do in real life is actually take them to still water, water that is not running or rushing. So it could be like a pond of some sort. Or sometimes, if a shepherd doesn't have that, they'll dam up the river to make a still water place for the sheep to drink. Or sometimes they'll draw it out of a well. Take that to us. We are skittish and stubborn people like sheep. And what Jesus is trying to do often is lead us to still water. But you know what we do? We rush into rushing water. It knocks us over, washes us away, and then we drown. What do I mean by that? Obviously, I'm speaking spiritually here. What I mean by that is we often get swept away by the rush of life. And it's not life-giving. In fact, it actually does the opposite. It sucks the life out of us. We go to social media trying to find rest in life. And what happens? It sucks you dry. Makes you more anxious. You just wasted 3 hours of your life scrolling, right? Or TV shows, or video games, or books, trying to escape reality, or food, or alcohol, or drugs, many other things in life. But the problem with all that stuff is it's not living water. That's where Jesus comes in. Your spiritual life has to be connected with Christ, or you will wither, get knocked over, swept away, and drowned by the things of this world. So one thing sheep have to do is trust their good shepherd that he will lead them to still waters. The problem with sheep is we think we know better than our shepherd. We think we know, oh no, Lord, this will give me life. If I could just have this impact, if I could just get this promotion, if I could just have this person in a relationship, if I could just have this house, if I could just have this, then my life will be great. And God says, oh, you are so stubborn and obnoxious. I'm trying to lead you to still waters to give you life, and you keep running headlong into the river and get swept away and drowned. And you wonder why you have no life. Follow the leading of your good shepherd. So our shepherd, our good shepherd Jesus, meets the need for rest. If we follow him, he'll meet the need for life. The third thing he will meet is the need for rescue. Verse 3 in the very beginning says, I shall not lack rescue. Jesus helps me regain my feet when my sin turns me upside down. What it says there is he restores my soul. And that can sound like it's very tied to that still waters things, but this word that's used in Hebrew actually can mean return or turn back. And the word that's used for soul is nephesh, which can certainly mean your soul, but it also means your life. So what I see is happening here is the shepherd is returning the sheep back to life. And this is actually something that happens with the shepherd. There's something that happens that you might not know because it's called something weird. There's a dangerous condition a sheep can get in, and it's called cast, or they can be cast down. What does that mean? Well, the sheep can be cast this way. You got a happy, just full sheep doing good and wants to lie down and take a nap. So what it does, it finds this little groove in the nice pasture and lies down, and it decides to stretch out. So it lies on its side and it stretches its feet out. Ah, that's great. Beautiful picture. But what happens then all of a sudden is the sheep is top-heavy. And so it starts to turn over onto its back. And the problem is what the sheep does is it starts to panic. So its feet are just starting to kick, 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 kick. And what happens is it makes the situation worse till all of a sudden now the sheep is upside down, feet up in the air, and it's in big trouble. Because what happens to the sheep, specifically in this situation, is that if it is not flipped over in 12 to 24 hours, it will die. Gas in its stomach starts building up, its blood circulation can't flow the proper way, and if the shepherd doesn't come and turn the sheep over, it will die. So if you ever see, you're like going by a field and you see a sheep upside down, stop your car and go flip it back over, okay? But this is a vivid metaphor for when we're upside down with sin. It's those moments that Jesus, our good shepherd, actively working through the power of the Holy Spirit, will come alongside us, help flip us back over from that sinful situation that flipped us over. And he doesn't just flip us over and then leave. He flips the sheep over, makes sure that the sheep is okay, give it a kiss on the head, and sends it off. Jesus does the same thing with you. He doesn't just flip you over when you've sinned. He restores or returns you back to life. He stays with you. but you're a sheep. Sometimes you lay down, take it easy, and all of a sudden you get yourself in a difficult situation. You now flipped on your back in the sinful condition. In that moment, do what sheep do. They start calling out for their shepherd. Because they might not know it, but the shepherd does, that if he does not come and rescue his sheep, it will die. So are you calling out to your good shepherd? If you're in sin right now, call out to him. So our good shepherd Jesus meets our need of rest, life, rescue. Verse 3 continues, and it won't surprise you that our good shepherd also gives us direction. I shall not lack direction, meaning Jesus guides me to walk the right path. That's what it means, that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Keller, in his book, talks about how sheep, if they're left to their own, they will wander off all over the place, and they will also, as they're wandering off, create these divots or trails that start ruining the green pastures. So what the shepherd will do is he gets his sheep to come around him and follow him to the green pastures, and he also makes sure that they're not trampling the ground over and over again so that it creates ruts and destroys the grass so that they do not have any green pastures anymore. And so what David is writing here through inspiration of the Holy Spirit is our shepherd shows us the direction we should walk. Now, the problem here is sheep don't like to follow their shepherd sometimes, and that's where we can find ourselves as well. You see, you have a choice. You have free will, right? And you can follow one of three things. You can follow the me, which is what you decide. You can follow the we, which is what the world says, or you can follow the thee. And Bob, I'm getting this from you. I always love it. So who are you following? Me, we, or thee? Who should you follow? I just gave you the answer. God, the thee, right? But oftentimes, what we do is we start wandering off and making trails, and the problem is, this is where the neuroscience gets into it, as well as the spiritual condition. If you keep walking the same trail of your sin in wrong places, you start ingraining that and destroying your life. Start making these trails that are very easy to walk down, and it's not easy to follow the shepherd anymore. And Jesus will knock you on the head with his staff and say, follow me, and you're just like that sheep. You're like, okay, oh, you rescue me, doing, 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 doing. Right back in the ditch, right? So the whole thing is you have to actually unlearn bad habits through the help of, this is where we come into it as body of Christ and as us elders, as under-shepherds trying to guide you. We're trying to help point the right path where the good shepherd says you're supposed to go. And if you look, it also says, tying to that, that it's not just for your sake and your good that Jesus is doing this. It's also for his sake and his glory. Do you see how it actually says that? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This ties it back into how well we're following our good shepherd reflects directly on how the world views Jesus. So if you're living a life that is sinful, selfish, you are giving Christ a bad name. And he will guide you if you let him the right directions. But first, you have to return to your shepherd and follow after him. So, Jesus meets the need of rest, life. He meets the need of rescue and direction. The fifth need that he meets is protection. And this is one of the favorite verses that people like to quote sometimes. I shall not lack protection. What that means is Jesus watches over me during the dark days of my life. What happens is, as a shepherd is living like in that area of Israel, they often have to take their sheep from one green pasture to another, and what they have to do is walk through ravines or valleys to get there. So walking through a valley or a ravine is very intentional by the shepherd, because the shepherd is walking them from one green pasture to the other. But the problem is, as you're in that valley, sheep are very vulnerable. Predators can come in and attack them. They have no place to run. and sheep like to run. That's the only defense mechanism they have. Sheep cannot defend themselves. The only thing they can do to protect themselves is run, which is very interesting because we're told to flee the devil, right? And if there are storms that come, it can be very dangerous to be in a valley or ravine in that moment because the storm can rush down on the grounds and feed into the valleys and drown the sheep. Also, like I said before, there's nowhere to run if any of those things happen. But our passage here says, no, this is intentional. God is going to walk you sometimes from really nice moments of your life, and there's going to be dark moments that you walk through. But Jesus is right there walking with you to the next green pasture. And that's what's beautiful about that, though. Yea, though I walk through. Do you see that there? That's big. It's not, yea, though I camp in the valley of the darkness, right? No, I'm walking through a dark period of my life, through the valley of the shadow of death, because if you're in a valley, do you guys get that? The sun is blocked by the rocks, so you can't see the sun, which is interesting because you can't see Jesus sometimes when you're in those dark moments, and so you're scared. And so what the sheep would need in those moments when they're walking through the valley of darkness is they need their good shepherd. Because if their good shepherd is there, they feel confident and safe in real life experiences for shepherds. And if you notice in verse 4, it says, I will fear no evil, for who is with me? Who's with you in the valley? Jesus. So the shepherd has not just brought you to the valley and say, okay, walk through it. Good luck. I hope you make it. He's walking with you through that valley, protecting you from enemies, making sure that you're secure and safe. You know, when I look at our own life, and even just, we've had a couple funerals for Audrey and Arlene. One of my good friends, his name was Warren, he was a mentor to me, he died also. There can be a lot of dark times in our lives. There can be times of grief, fear, suffering, and those are the valleys. But our confidence to get through those times, it's not based on ourselves. It's okay you're scared. It's okay you need help. Do you realize that we are needy people, that God created us with needs? And man, we as Americans, I'm the self-sufficient, independent American. Yeah, okay, great. I fall into that camp. But you were created with needs, so you are dependent. So I'm sorry. You're dependent on God, all right? You need your good shepherd to walk with you through those dark times. And with Jesus' leadership, he will do that. And if you notice, as he's walking with you in that valley, that dark time, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a piece of wood that the shepherd would use as an attack weapon to protect you from your enemies. And the staff was something to guide the sheep, right? Or rescue them out of a hole that they jumped into. So here we see God fighting our battles for us as we're walking through those dark times, as well as guiding us through those dark times, and even rescuing us when we need a little help. So Jesus meets our needs as the good shepherd. He gives us rest, life. He rescues us. He gives us direction. He even gives us protection as we walk through the valleys. The sixth thing Jesus does for us is found in verse 5. I shall not lack provision. Jesus goes before me, preparing what I cannot see. Now, this is where it becomes a little interesting with Keller's book, because a lot of times what commentators will focus on is that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and so we think of like a table actually sitting down to eat a meal. But Keller says if we keep this sheep motif that's been prevalent through this entire song, this might not be what it means. When shepherds are caring for their sheep throughout the year, first in the springtime, they start off in the green pastures. They have to move in late spring through the valleys to get to the other green pastures. But as it gets towards the summer months, those green pastures start to dry up. And so what the shepherd needs to do is take them to what is called the tablelands. And the shepherd, before he takes his sheep to the tablelands, he has to prepare it for the sheep. So he goes ahead and makes sure that all the enemies are gone that might damage or hurt the sheep. It also means that he goes through and looks to see if there's any poisonous plants. He makes sure there's no pests that will bother them. He prepares this upper pasture during the summertime so he can bring his sheep there. And as he does so, he takes care of them and he provides more than enough for what they need in those summer months when a lot of things have dried up. If you notice there, it says in that passage that you prepare it in my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. So this is not necessarily the great banquet feast when Jesus returns a second time. That's sometimes what people point to. He's saying, this is where I think it's really neat to think of it from a shepherd's perspective. If it is talking about these tablelands in a place where sheep are going, it means Jesus is walking with you in life, and he goes to prepare things ahead of time for you, and he's also taking into consideration the enemies that might be there, or the pests that might be there. And he makes sure you have enough to eat to keep you spiritually healthy. That's why he talks about, you prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And one of the things that a shepherd does when the sheep are being annoyed or they have cuts on their heads, they're being annoyed by flies or pests or have cuts, they will anoint their head with oil as medication to relieve that stressor in their life. And so if the same thing, if we take that sheep motif here, it's the same thing. Jesus is walking with us through our life, and there is going to be times as we come to these summer tabletops fields. And Jesus is going to go ahead and prepare it for you. He's going to do things you don't even see. He's going to make sure there's no pests there. And he's going to walk you through that and provide for you during that time. And while you're in that time in your life, he's going to make sure that you have more than enough, that your cup runs over. So, Jesus meets our needs of rest, life, rescue, direction, protection, provision. The last need that he gives is found in verse 6. If we look at verse 6, we see that I shall not lack provision. I shall not lack. Can you change it? They're home. There we go. Again, I want to stick with the shepherd team motif here, and I'm looking at Keller's book again. The theme is Jesus is our good shepherd, and he meets our needs so that we lack nothing. One of the things that sheep need as it comes to the fall and winter times is a home, a fold where they can rest, where they'll be tended to, kept safe, where they'll be fed. And so what the song is telling us is that Jesus is going to give you an everlasting home to which you always belong. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were adopted into that family and you already belong. That you have a home right now. And do you realize who your family is? Who are the other sheep? Look to the right of you. Look to the right of you real quick. Look to the left of you. Whether you like it or not, this is our family. And when we're together, we're home. And when Jesus comes back, we're home with him. So we better have good relationships now and deal with our stuff, right? No, this is a beautiful image of, from a shepherd's point of view. He brings his sheep back from the pastures because they would stay out there during the spring and the summer. But when it becomes the fall and the winter, when things get cold, they need to come back into a fold, a safe place where they are kept. And so the same thing is for you. Jesus has given you a home as your good shepherd. So what can we take away from Psalm 23? What's God trying to get across to us through this song? Simply this. If the Lord is your shepherd, you do not have to fear the journey. He will be with you when you need rest. He will lead you to still waters when you need life. He will rescue you when you're flipped upside down. He will give you direction. He will give you protection. He will give you provision. And you'll always be a part of his home. So the question becomes then, are you following your good shepherd? Not just knowing about your good shepherd, but trusting his voice, walking his ways, and depending on his care. Because sheep that stay near the shepherd get their needs met. Sheep that stay far away from their shepherd usually gets into a lot of problems. So bring your fears, your burdens, your wandering heart, and let Jesus lead you as your good shepherd. You were never meant to live without a shepherd, and you don't have to, because Jesus is your shepherd. Next week, we're going to dive into Psalm 24. If Psalm 23 shows us the benefits of Jesus being our shepherd, Psalm 24 actually pulls back and shows us something astounding. He is not just our good shepherd. Our shepherd is a king. And so the question becomes, if our shepherd is also a king, are we ready to meet our king? And what should we do when he arrives? Well, if you want to find out the answer to that, you need to come back next week or read your Bible. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your Son to be our good shepherd, to rescue us when we are in need, to feed us when we are hungry, to guide us when we need direction, and to put us in a home where we'll never be taken out of, forgotten, dismissed, or abused. Lord, we need your help to fully believe this truth, not just in our head, but in our hearts. God, connect those two things. Connect this deep biblical truth that Jesus is our good shepherd and that we have everything we need through him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.